right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hey everybody, this is Mark Sussman, and you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and every week I invite somebody to have a conversation with me, somebody that's been referred to me, somebody that I've met in the circle of people I know. Sometimes there's a publicist that emails me regarding their clients, and I try to be selective and talk to people that I think I'm going to find enlightening and informative. And I have somebody today that's like that. Her name is Carol Adrian, and she's an internationally known author. She's an intuitive counselor and life coach whose books have been translated into over 15 languages. In her book, The Purpose of Your Life, Finding Your Place in the World, Using Synchronicity, Intuition, and Uncommon Sense, was hailed by Oprah as a must-read when Carol appeared on her show several years ago. And Carol loves to talk about numbers. And what they mean and the significance of them, the psychology of them, how we navigate with them. And she actually did a chart for me, and it's amazing what she came up with. And sometimes there are numbers that kind of we keep seeing all the time that keep appearing in our life. And welcome Carol Adrian to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much.
I'm really excited about our conversation. And what about that idea about there's certain numbers that we see at certain times? What about that? What's the significance of that? Why does that happen? And
that's
can
so
you give me some examples?
Yeah, that's so interesting that you started with that, because I just about 10 minutes ago answered someone's question, an email, who emailed me, and she said the same exact thing. I keep seeing these numbers everywhere. A lot of times it'll be a repeating number like 1111, something like that. She was actually asking about 22, which is one of my favorite numbers also. And she said, you know, what do I do with this? How do I make the best use of this? And is there a message in the numbers? And so I wrote her back just briefly, and I said, yes, there is. And that message is actually the meaning of the numbers. And so, you know, the way to make the best use of that, if you're really curious why you keep seeing numbers, certain numbers, is to really take the time to just find out some basic information about each one. You only have to learn really about the 9 basic numbers from 1 to 9. And they really represent the, you know, main essences of human life, if you interpret them archetypally with their essence. You know, like 1 is a number for starting new things, 9 is the number for completing. So between that, there's a whole range of development. So whatever number it is you see, if you do just pick up any simple numerology book or learn a little bit about it, you can think to yourself, using your intuition, of course, oh, how does this apply to me right now?
Uh-huh.
Do I have a question in my mind? You know, is it answering something?
Mm-hmm.
So you just play around with it a little bit. But usually, people are very good at, you know, we're really designed to recognize patterns. We're looking. Our mind is craving to make sense of things.
Right.
So, you know, if you just give in to that and say, oh, maybe it means this, you're probably right, you know, if you trust your intuition like that.
You know, what's interesting is that I've been very musical most of my life. I've, you know, played since I've been a little kid. And a friend of mine is learning bass, and he's taken lessons, and he was saying to me, you know, the teacher isn't teaching me notes. It's all numbers. And I said, music is all mathematical. I mean, when you get in, it's all mathematical. For example, in jazz theory, you hear the phrase 2-5-1, which means that in any key, you go from the second chord to the fifth chord to the first chord. And it's that same sequence in any piece that you see over and over again, 2-5-1. And So I was telling him how, and if you look at a piano, everything is mathematical, which is amazing. And I'm going to take a leap here, and would you say the whole universe is based on mathematical principles?
Well, I didn't say it, but Pythagoras said it. Pythagoras, if you everybody relates him to high school geometry, but he lived around 600 BC in virtually what's Greece today, and he is considered the father of numerology. And yes, he absolutely said that the universe is ordered by number. And I think he started really with musical octaves, and I think he was the one that maybe identified those. And you're right, though, that it's music and numbers go together. They're just part of the same cosmology, I guess you'd say, the same language. And it's fascinating that numbers act a certain way in math, and they're predictable, and in music they're obviously predictable. So they have an innate quality to them, and they're not just quantitative denominators. Oh, I've got six apples. It's more like they do have meanings too. So Pythagoras was really the one who started the form of numerology that I'm using, at least. There are some other ones too, but I'm most familiar with this, and it's a very simple, if you're going to work on your own numbers, you can just start by looking at what your birthday number is if you want to get, really simplified. You're looking for to get a single digit, and then see what that might say about your nature. I think your day of birth is always important because we never forget that. We always think, there's my day of birth, when you hear it somewhere. And it has a significant influence on your life. It's kind of predicting something about you. Now, you mentioned to me earlier that you were very much a people person. And
yes.
You are born on the 2nd. You're born on August 2nd. And that
yes.
too is very relational, very psychological, very good with people one-on-one. Look what we're doing right here.
Exactly.
We're having a conversation. So that is... it's an essential part of what you came here to do, I think, is if you look just at the day that you were born on.
I got one for you. Is that this is something I've thought about a lot. My son was born on June 24th, 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother was born on June 24th, 1958.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Same exact numbers.
Isn't
so,
that something? Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say about, could you, from that concept, that information, could you, or any, it could be anything like that. It could be, May 19th, 19th,
mm-hmm.
Any day. But the fact that all the numbers are the same, could you say about the relationship between these two people?
Yeah, I would, it's a very subtle one because, it looks like some of them are different because they're different decades. But, I would be tempted to say, and, this goes back to an even deeper philosophical or metaphysical idea that, we're born to work out certain karma in our lives, that there's a reason why we're coming here. And numerologists kind of go with that idea as, like, what is the name and birth date tell us about what your work in the world is going, what direction might you be flowing in? And, with two people like that who share a commonality, at least in their numbers, and there will be differences because obviously the name comes into it too, but that would tell me that they probably, your son and your wife have probably been together in other lifetimes. I know that's kind of a huge leap to make, but it's something to think about, is why would this, what are they working out here? And you may not know for years.
Right.
You don't know right off the bat. But it's something, all of this to me isn't so deterministic or proscriptive. It's more like meant to stimulate your thinking about things and just opening up your mind to, oh, could this be a possibility? Oh, you know, how do I use this to kind of make a, you know, look at life from a broader perspective?
You know, another thing that you said in the material you sent me, and I can't find it right here, but you were talking about intuition and uncommon sense. You and I don't know if that was a typo, but there was, you said intuition and uncommon sense.
Yeah, it's the subtitle for my book on the purpose of your life.
Uh-huh.
And I do,
so my
I do
question,
talk, the subject, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my question is like, common sense to me is very intuitive. In other words, I don't know, maybe for me, I get a feeling, and it's just, it's almost like I get an intuition, and to me, it's just like almost logical. Well, of course it's this way. I mean, it doesn't have to be a reason, but I get a feeling, and to me, that's kind of almost what I see as common sense, is what I feel. And I guess you're meaning something else when you say uncommon sense.
Well, no, I would not disagree with you at all on intuition. It's often very practical and right on and logical almost, you know. But sometimes it isn't. And sometimes you get an intuition and it seems to come out of nowhere and you're not sure if it's, you know, it's not something you were actually thinking you were going to go towards, or is kind of out of context. And so in that sense, if you begin to think to yourself that you do trust your intuition, that there's a purpose when you think of some, you were thinking of something and then you thought of a person, they may not seem immediately connected, but there might be a connection that you're not, you know, privy to at this point. So there's the uncommon sense, is being able to try things out or go in a direction and check it out and see what's there, rather than, certainly common sense gets us through the day most of the time, but sometimes there's things that just don't make sense. So we have to see what's there then, if you know, they're not logical. And that's again connected to the idea of synchronicity, where synchronicity is when you notice two events happening, but there's no linear cause between the two of them, but they happen and they seem to be meaningful together. So again, you have to have that sense of the uncommon connection to make the best use of you know, synchronicities. Like, why did this happen? Well, we may not know right away, but eventually we may see a bigger picture.
You know, you say there's no obvious linear connection, but do you think there can be like a linear connection as you go deeper in terms of looking at it on a deeper level? There is a linear connection. I mean, at some level, that's kind of how I kind of see it, synchronicity sometimes, is that, well, there is a connection on a deeper level. We're maybe not aware of it now, or a commonality.
Well, it is a connection at a deeper level. It's something that you just, I don't know that I would call it logical, but you're right, it may have its own logic that it was there. I'm reminded of something that, I got another email this week from a friend of mine, and she was telling me this story. It was so mind-boggling. She works in downtown Berkeley, and her office, when she had the office remodeled that her company occupies, she decided not to put a microwave oven in there because she didn't want it to smell during lunchtime when people would, you know, employees would go there and heat up their lunch. So she had to go down this. Last week, she had to go down the hallway to heat up whatever it was she brought to eat. It's in another little cubby hole that's kind of like a common area for more than one office there. She was in there waiting for the microwave, and she got to talking to this guy. And lo and behold, they had this amazing conversation about, he's from India, his family, I can't even tell you all the details right now, but it was some amazing thing where his family had refurbished some old palace in India, and she had been there years ago to visit, and on and on and on. And it was just like, oh, my goodness. And this was totally relevant to her and him, too. You know, they exchanged information to get together later and talk about more of this stuff. But it occurred to me, and I wrote her back in the email, and I said, you know, wow, this amazing synchronicity happened because of a decision you made 5 years ago when you remodeled your office and decided not to put the microwave in here. Now, how that's a, kind of what you're talking about, Mark, is like,
yeah.
Oh, how there's a logical connection, but it sure didn't flower or blossom out for reality until like 5 years later.
Right.
And so anyways, it's just really, it's just that kind of thing I think is fascinating.
It is. You know, I'm
finding
that.
You never know what decision you make today, how it's going to change the course of your life, you know, sometime hence. You know, you just don't know.
I know. That's my new book, The Soul of Uncertainty. But I make it a fable.
There you go.
Fable. But it's not, you know, it's a fable.
Yeah.
And but it's a soul of uncertainty about not knowing about. But, you know, one thing is I'm finding that the synchronicity, like you're talking about the woman that emailed you, that kind of thing is happening more often in my life. It seemed to be happening quite regularly. And I'm wondering if is that happening to you too?
Well, it comes and goes. I have been through periods when it's been mind-boggling how often things happen. This was some years ago when I started writing my books, and I would just meet people on the airplane, and I would get in conversation, and I'd think, oh, I've got to interview this person and put this in my book, and I have a lot of stories in the purpose of your life. I started teaching, and people would come up, and they would just tell me these amazing things about reading license plates and how it related exactly to what was happening to their mother-in-law or whatever. And so I've had extraordinarily rich, and some of them were before I even knew what the word synchronicity was. There were things that were just happening earlier in my life. Before I started writing and getting involved with numerology and everything, I don't know, I was just like, whoa, look at this. And I was younger, obviously, then, and I just saw it as more of a
mystery. Now, that's logical.
Mystery,
that statement's logical.
Which, that I was younger then.
Yeah, that's
a
logical
statement.
Idea. That's not
now,
intuitive.
I'm looking at some details of your aspects right now from numerology. And I won't go into how I'm getting it, but you're under a number right now, which is basically a 3. And you have been for at least a year, and you will be for another year. And that 3, when it comes up, it's very creative, so you may even be feeling like you want to write some more, and you're definitely doing your radio interviews and work. That's a 3. It's all about communication and flow.
And playing music every day.
And playing music. And it's also
my
three,
business
kind
is
of
all creative, too.
Psychic.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, my business is totally creative, you know, in the coaching that I do.
Yeah.
It's a whole,
yeah.
So what were you going to say about psychic or?
Well, the 3 is you know, it's in the flow. It is synchronistic because it's kind of a spontaneous, it's asking a person, you, when you have it, to, act more spontaneously, follow up. That would be following up on an intuition to call so-and-so, and, you know, you don't know why, but you need to call. And so you do things in line with what you're kind of feeling and not so logical. 3 isn't quite as logical. 4 is considered a more logical fact-based number, but 3 is very imaginative and very keen to have fun and see the world and enjoy itself. So you're under
that's exactly
that right,
right. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I thought that reading, again, I'm going to reread it, was really right on. And so can other people, if they want to call you to get readings, what do you do readings for people still, or what?
Oh, yes,
I do.
Or, mm-hmm.
And so how do people
I'd
get
love
a hold
to
of you?
Do, yeah,
you know,
personal
if they want to
consultations
do
with people. And then if they just want to get a chart like I sent to you, that's available on my website. And it's just my name, caroladrian.com. So they can always contact me. And also on my website, I offer a lot of free stuff. Huh?
Yeah, you want to spell that
for
them.
My last name is spelled Adriene. It's like a first name, Adrian, Carol, caroladrian.com. And I love, you know, writing and putting out, you know, information that anyone can use. So I always have a free weekly forecast on my website that tells you what's happening for you. And it's pretty specific because you have to know your own personal year, which is simple to do.
Uh-huh.
You can find your personal year just by adding your month and day of birth to 2017, and then whatever number that adds up to as a final single digit, that's your personal year. And we are all in somewhere in a nine-year cycle. We start in a one, and then we go to a nine to complete. So once you know that, then you can kind of see what month you're in, and then I write something specific to the week that you would be in. So I like it that people go there and read that because I have to write it every week.
Right. No, I do. I blog. I have a monthly newsletter, and then I blog every week. And just like you said, it kind of keeps my creative juices going with the blogging.
Yeah.
Because I could easily just say, well,
right.
I got my newsletter. But I want to keep that energy going. What about your book about purpose that Oprah loved? When did you write that?
The late 90s. And it came after when I – well – I have to go back to the Celestine Prophecy, which is the book that came out in 95, I think it was, by James Redfield. And it was hugely popular for 2 years. It was like the most popular book in the world for 2 years. People were just caught up in this idea of listening to their intuition and following the synchronicities. And this, you know, the book is a novel. So when I read it, I thought, oh, you know, this fun. This is interesting. I get it. And then a couple of people had told me to read the book. So after the third person, you know how that goes, I said, sure, I'll read it. So I read it, and I started using some of the principles of it in my work with clients, particularly about what was the dream of your mother? What was the dream of your father? How did they complete that? And Carl Jung, the psychiatrist, he claimed that we are the evolution of our parents, and that we're destined to play out their dreams in some way. We're going to be on that path in some way. So that was mentioned in the Celestine Prophecy. I started working with people, and just in a, 15 minutes, I was getting some good connections for them. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's right. I never thought about this, and so on. So anyways, long story short, I mentioned it to a friend who was an agent, and she contacted James Redfield, and I wound up collaborating with him, and I wrote the guidebooks for how to implement the ideas in the novel. And then I started going around and teaching those in seminars, and that's how I really got out there. And then after that, I wrote more about synchronicity through the purpose of your life and when life changes or you wish it would. These are books I wrote after the Celestine Prophecy guidebooks. So that's kind of how I got.
Yeah, and people can get those books on Amazon. It's the easiest way to get them, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or get them from your website.
Right. That's where I would go to get them. Yeah.
Uh huh. Wow. What a a lot of information here. A lot of great stuff. So what because the show is the Inspire Possibility Show, I'm always curious about what inspires people. What inspires you?
What inspires me? Well, you know what really inspires me, if I have to be honest, is art. I love the numbers, too. I mean, I guess I'm sort of, I have a lot of things that inspire me. I love my grandchildren, and they inspire me, but now they're becoming teenagers, so they're kind of like moving on into their own realm of existence.
Mm-hmm.
I love writing about numerology. I'm writing a new book now, and it's been a long time coming. It's just, I wanted to put in my ideas that I've learned over the last 40 years. So I'm still inspired to write this stuff, and it's not easy to sit here and do it, but for some reason, I guess I must do it. And I'm telling myself that once I get the book finished, then I'll have time to go out in my studio and do some painting, which I've always loved art from the very beginning. I would have loved to have been an artist in the early days, and I did sell some work then, and I did pursue it, but sort of life got in the way, and I had to take care of my two kids, and it was just harder to make money at art than it was to make money at writing, so that's how I made the segue into
I get it.
Different field. But I love both of them, and I'm inspired by reading. I just love the books I read at night, you know, as I'm going to bed. So for me, it's art and reading and people. I love talking to people in my sessions with people to hear what everybody's working on and what their questions are and how can the numbers speak to that. And, you know, using symbols, using intuition. Metaphysics has always inspired me. I'm sure you feel very similar to all of that. Sounds like your background is a lot in this, too.
It is. I mean, I think I'm inspired by learning new things. There was a point when I didn't want to learn new things. I just wanted to take what I, you know, already was learning and learn it on a deeper level. But now I found with the new book out, and things have changed a lot since my first book came out 7 years ago, that everything is so much online. I'm learning about this stuff, and I find it's fun. I'm enjoying it. A lot of people go, oh, social media. But I like it. It's fun for me, and I love doing this show. I love, you know, I'm curious, naturally curious. That's why I like to learn new things. And or like with music, I hear something, you know, it sounds really cool. I go, how are they doing this? And I try to figure out how they're doing this because I want to do it. Sounds so cool.
That really motivates me. I love it that you just said that because that's exactly how I feel going into a museum and seeing some painting. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll just stand there and think, now, what did he do first or what did she do first? You know, what's the groundwork? Then what that line there? And I want to do it myself. It's like I want to do that. And I feel the same way. How did they do that? I don't know what that is. I think it's part of the two. I have a lot of two in my chart, and you have that two day of birth. Two likes to replicate or image things, you know. So it might be that, but it's just a natural draw to see something that you love, and you want more of it. You want to bring it into your life and do it yourself.
Exactly. That's how I'm feeling. You know, it's interesting. I was actually, I did a spontaneous thing with my daughter on Instagram, and somebody texted her to ask me a question, and the question was, if you could have lunch with anybody living or dead, who would you want to have that lunch with? And that's a question I thought was such an incredible question. And that's what I told the person. I said, this is a great question. I'm going to ask it to my clients. And then anyway, this is the first interview I've had since that person asked me that question. So I'm curious about you. If you could have a lunch with anybody today, living or dead, who would that be?
Oh, God. So many people that I could name names. I have to say, in the book that I'm writing, I have been looking for exemplars, you know, people with charts that are from history, and to demonstrate what the numbers show. What does this person's numbers look like? Why did they do what they did, you know? So I've been delving and researching into so many people to put their charts as examples in my book. So when you say that, I've always thought my first response to this question is Pythagoras. I would just like to see guy, you know, what was he like? Because he was considered almost almost divine, and he didn't speak for 6-7 years or something. I don't know. He had a mystery school. He was just Pythagoras, you know. So I would love to meet him. But I also, you know, I've also been gripped by, during this reading and research, you know, somebody that really grips me is Florence Nightingale, because she changed the face of public health almost single-handedly back there in the 1800s. And, oh, my God, she just seems like such a determined woman. And the idea of all the things she must have done to, you know, get a new thinking around public health and medicine and everything and nursing. And independence for women as well. I mean, she's had a lot going on there. So, you know, I don't know if she'd be that interesting to talk to.
Right. You don't know. If you're a curious person like we are, you go, why not? Right, because you don't know. If you don't give it a shot, you don't know where it's going to go. And, yeah, hey.
Have you come up with somebody that you want to have?
I thought, you know, I've been thinking about that, and I don't know. I mean, like I say, I'm asking this question, and I haven't really, you know, I thought maybe Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci, and you know, they were such geniuses and creative souls that I think Einstein would have, you know, to have an evening. I wouldn't want to just have lunch with these people. I would, you know, I would say an evening. I'm going to change the question. So, you know what? We're running out of time. And I just want to thank you for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. This is like, I got to say this. Just cannot believe how quickly this time went. I think this is a record. This is the fastest half hour it's ever happened. So thanks again, Carol, for being my guest, for the work you do, for being an inspiration and a guiding light, and to our listeners, until next week, journey on.
Great. Thanks for having me, Mark.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.